We are in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 17 through 26. That's 10 verses. If I could have two volunteers to read 5 verses each, that would be awesome. 5 verses each, starting with verse 17. So 17 through 20, and then 21 through 26. Is that correct? Is that 5? 1, 2, 3, 4, 21 through 21. George, and then who wants the second 5? Second 5? Going once? Okay, Baga. All right, go ahead and read, you guys.
If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible.
And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their fame from under their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee, until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing.
All right, thank you both. Chapter 6 and 7. Speak of the secrets of obedience. First, in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 6, love for the Lord. Verses 10 through 25, gratitude to the Lord. And then chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, which we saw last week, separation unto the Lord. All three of these depend upon faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises. Without faith, of course, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. But Israel's faith was not a blind faith. It's not just that someone has faith, it's who do we have faith in? Of course, we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do not have faith or trust in him, we can't be saved, can we? And so trust is, of course, critical to salvation. Israel had God's covenant promises. They had their past, how God worked in their lives in the past, how God directed that nation even out of bondage in Egypt. Wiersbe said, God's people don't live on explanations, they live on promises. As God shows himself faithful, we continue to trust him. As Joshua's life came to an end, he wrote, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua 23 and verse 14. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never fails us. He has never broken a promise. He will never break a promise. And, of course, we know that the Bible teaches God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So we know everything he says is true and will always be true. All right, so let's look at, in this portion of chapter 7, number 1, promises from the Lord. Promises from the Lord. Bless you. And then underneath, promises from the Lord. God was faithful in the past. Verses 17 through 19. God was faithful in the past, verses 17 through 19. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Now remember, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the older generation had rejected that God would give them the victory in Canaan. They were afraid. There are giants in the land. We can all accept Joshua and Caleb. 10 of the 12 spies said, oh, no, we can't. We cannot do it. So because of their disobedience, or because of their disbelief and their lack of trust in God, they all died wandering in the wilderness. Now, the new generation should have had no problem trusting God in light of all that he had done for them. As they look back over their history, they can see the hand of God over and over and over and over again. So surely they would remember what God had done. And so should we. Shouldn't we? It's easy to forget. It's easy, especially if things aren't going real well at a particular point in our lives. We might be tempted to focus on just the negative of today and forget the blessings of yesterday. It's very easy to do. Well, the Lord had defeated Egypt and Pharaoh. He had defeated the Midianites and Sihon, the king of Heshbon, Og, the king of Bashan. What a great name, Og. If any of you have a son, or maybe you could convince your sons and daughters that your grandchild, your next grandson, should be Og. What do you think? No good? Og's not good? No? Okay. Because of him, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, talking about because of God, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh were able to settle east of the Jordan. Remember, the promised land was on the west side of the Jordan. But there was good grazing land there. And so they went to Moses, and Moses, we'd like to stay here on the east side. Would that be possible? And Moses went to the Lord. The Lord said, yeah, they can do that if the men of valor fight with the rest of the tribes in conquest of the Canaanites. You've got to be prepared to fight. Go to Canaan and fight. Since arriving in the area of Jordan, not one single nation was able to stand against Israel. God had been true to his word. They trusted God and God came through. And when we trust God, he'll never fail us. Unfortunately, sometimes we just don't trust him, do we? We just don't trust him. Now, we have a very difficult situation in our nation. We're really going down a bad path. I mean, we're in dangerous territory. We're now at a point where not only is there censorship in a lot of the platforms like Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these different things, but now it's become a First Amendment issue, because the White House spokeswoman stood and said, when she was asked about this censorship, she agreed with it and said, yes, these platforms need to, when there is misinformation, which, of course, what is the definition of misinformation? Whatever a conservative says in opposition to a liberal or a socialist. So if it's not what they agree with, then it shouldn't be said, because there is no dialogue anymore. You can't have dialogue, because they go spastic anytime you try to have a discussion with them. So now it's First Amendment because government's involved. Before, if Facebook, a private company, says, we don't want conservatives on, there's not a thing you can do about it. It's censorship, no doubt about that, but it's not against the First Amendment because it's a private company. But when the government steps in and says, yeah, I think these platforms should censor those that are spreading false information, according to their definition. So now we have a First Amendment issue, and that's a basic bedrock of our republic, isn't it? So I encourage you, I challenge you, because this isn't easy for today's society. Get off of Facebook. Oh, Pastor, no, I got children of the pictures of the grandkids on there. I can't. Oh, no, there's no way. How do we do for the bulk of our lives without Facebook? Did we survive? How do we do? You know what? It's time to take a stand. If we do not take a stand as Christians, we're going to lose our nation. We're at that point. This is the most serious situation we have ever been in as a nation. What about civil war? Now, this is that. Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, really bad. The world war, all these different things were horrible. But this is the survival of our nation. So get off of Twitter and Facebook. Get on to Rumble. Rumble is, we'll take both sides. Rumble. I just encourage you to think about, pray about it, because we're supporting something that's destroying our nation. Anytime somebody says, nope, you can't speak, you don't agree with me. That's not America, is it? I mean, we've got leadership that's talking. Donna, when you go to China, don't say anything, because, you know, we got to bow down to the Chinese because they own us. So be real careful. Don't say anything. We shouldn't even be there. You think we should be in China? I feel bad for the athletes. Don't get me wrong. You know, you train your whole life. Your goal in life is to go to the Olympics. Should have never been in China to start with. Trying to normalize. They're vicious people. Not the people, the government. Vicious. Go over and start preaching the gospel. Come on. You can fly in there. Fly in there and start preaching. See what happens. All right. I know I've been a lot really, really political lately. It's because if we don't take a stand as Christians, if we don't have a nation, we don't have a church. Now, we might meet in somebody's basement or whatever, hide in the corner somewhere. But I'm telling you, we're in a do-or-die situation. All right, so let's get back in the Word of God. So they trusted God, and God came through. And this same God would also give them victory in Canaan. So number one, God was faithful in the past, and that's underneath promises from the Lord. God was faithful in the past. Then B, or number two, God would go before them. God would go before them. Verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them. Some translators say not necessarily a literal hornet, but I have no reason to doubt that it certainly used insects in the past, right? Help get them out of Egypt. So it could very well be hornet or wasp. Until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you. And that's why we don't have to be afraid in the midst of all that we're seeing go on around us. Because the Lord our God, not only is he among you, he, in the, as far as the children of God, live within us. So we have nothing to fear. As Roosevelt said, nothing to fear but fear itself. Okay? So don't fear. All right, so last part of the verse, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty or a great God and terrible, or awesome would be the translation of that word, awesome. So the Lord went before Israel and brought terror in the hearts of the people of Canaan. Look at, skip ahead a book to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Joshua 2, if somebody would read verses 9 through 11. Joshua 2, 9 through 11. Anybody want to read those? All right, Bill, go ahead.
9 through 11.
Mm-hmm. Through 11.
And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed.
All right, so that, of course, was when they went in to spy out Jericho, two men, and Rahab the harlot took care of them. If you recall, that's kind of the backdrop of that particular account. But word had gone out. Word went out before that the people of Israel have a God that is great, a God that will go before them. We need to fear, and they did. And then Exodus chapter 15, just one verse there, and I'll read it real quickly. Exodus 15, verse number 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them for by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. So that was a promise back in Exodus chapter 15. So the news about Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the slaughter of the nations east of the Jordan would paralyze even the strongest in the land. The superstitious Canaanites would have seen the strange swarming and stinging of hornets as an announcement of defeat, if they were literal hornets, and again, I think they were. Indeed, couple of things to consider. God does go before his people and prepares the way for victory. Do you believe that? God does go before his people and prepares the way for victory. But of course, we got to walk in his ways. We have to be obedient to his word and submit to his will. And sometimes we have trouble with that, don't we? Submitting to the will of God. Secondly, he can even use insects to accomplish his purposes. God can use anything. God can use a virus. Not learning very well, though. I don't know if you've noticed. Seems like the nation is pulled further from God instead of running toward God. You would think after heading on a million people have died, it would tend to wake us up. But it hasn't, at least as far as I know. Have you heard anything where there's been any kind of spiritual awakening because of the virus? Anywhere in the world, for that matter. These words should have challenged the people and given them assurance that God was with them. 40 years earlier, Joshua and Caleb had used these words as an argument. Hey, we can take the land. We can take the land. God is with us. God will go before us. We can trust in him. Verse 21, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you a mighty, a great God and terrible, awesome God. Remember the song came out several years, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. Remember that? And that's true, absolutely true. Our God is an awesome God. Numbers 14:9, the Lord is with us, fear them not. The Lord is with us, fear them not. One distinct thing about Israel is that God was with them. In Exodus chapter 33, if someone would read Exodus 33, 12 through 17. Exodus 33, 12 through 17. Anybody want to read those? Volunteer? Volunteer, anybody? Volunteer, anybody? Gary, was that your hand?
I'm finding it.
Okay.
33?
Yes, sir.
12 through 17.
That's correct.
I got you. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For within shall it be known here that I and thy people found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
All right, thank you. So, this assurance that God gave Moses at this point in their history went all the way back to Isaac and Jacob, and was repeated whenever they needed to be encouraged. These are exactly the words that they heard over and over and over and over again. And you know what? We have the same promise. Hebrews 13:5. We'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus will stick closer than a brother. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to live in anguish. We don't have to wring our hands in despair. We don't have to run out and buy gold. Unless you want to. I mean, nothing wrong with buying gold. I actually heard somebody say this week, I thought I was the only one that said it. You know, you're never the only one, right? Remember how I've said, I don't know why people think gold is so great, you can't eat it. Remember me saying that? I heard somebody else say it. You know. Because, I mean, if everything crashes, let's say everything crashed, okay? What's gold? What's silver and gold going to be worth?
Nothing.
I mean, think about it. You might be able to get a can of beans. Somebody might say, maybe they have 400 cans of beans stored up, so they give you one for a $25 gold piece or something. You know what I mean? It's because they don't, they figure, you know, I'm going to be all right. I got 399 more cans of beans, and they'll put it in their treasure chest. But all in all, what's an ordinary person going to do? It was a commercial over, you can buy that prepared food the last 25 years. I mean, you can eat that, right?
They just put somewhere and forget where they put it. I'm serious. We know this friend. He's a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
He has nothing else to do with his money, so he buys gold. And his friend told us just the other day, he's probably put it somewhere and don't have a clue where it's at, because he's not losing his mind, but it's...
Wow. Can you imagine having so much gold you forget where you put it? Now, honey, I know I had all that gold. I don't know. Did I bury it in the yard? I don't know what I did with it.
I wouldn't tell anybody. I mean, what's the use? I don't care how much gold he's got if he don't
know. Anyway, I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with buying gold or silver. So don't think, if you got it in your portfolio, it's just, you hear these commercials, you know, you got William Devane, you know, he's got money. The guy's probably 80 years old. He's got money he'll never spend, and he's worried about, you know, having all this silver. I mean, really, I think I'd worry more about where I'm going to spend eternity. What about you?
And
you know what I mean?
How much you're putting in the offering plate,
how much gold you take with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's. You heard the old saying, right? It's not how much we give, it's how much we keep. You know what I mean? I don't know. People are something. All right, we have the same promise. One of the places where we can read that promise, this will be familiar to you, because we just went over not long ago, in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, literally, as you are going. It's assumed that we're going to be going. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, and that literally is making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And lo, I am with you. How often? Always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. And then a verse that I made reference to in Hebrews Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to read 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness. That's interesting because we're just talking about money and gold and silver. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. In other words, money, our lives shouldn't revolve around it. I mean, it's good to have money because it's hard to go to the grocery store. And, of course, today you can just go take what you want in certain areas, not here. If you do it here, you will be arrested. I can promise you that. But and, I mean, you go to L.A. if you want to go to L.A. and go in a store, whatever you want, under $1,000, just, you know, have at it. Isn't that crazy? Do you ever think you'd live to see the day? Huh? Where somebody could murder somebody and they'd be out because bail laws aren't fair because if you're poor, you can't come up with bail, but if you're rich, you can. So, therefore, no bail. Just let them out. It's crazy. I mean, did you ever come on. See how crazy? I mean, sin is not only wicked, but it's crazy. Crazy. Let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For you know what? Right after I got saved, I worked at Capitol Records, and I got saved while I was working there as a machinist. And they were trying to get a union in. And I, you know, unions, I'm not a union guy. I don't like unions. Unions served their purpose back, you know, in the 30s and 40s, but now they're destroying businesses. Many companies now are overseas because of unions that have caused wages to be far beyond what the work is worth. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. My dad and I, he was a Teamster. He'd go round and round. Oh, man, you get mad at me for saying that. But anyway. What was I talking about? I forgot. Where was I going with that? Oh, yes. And this verse right here. God said, be content with such things as ye have. And I thought, well, maybe pushing for a union to get more isn't the right approach. So I'm not saying this would be true for everyone. That's how I felt. God spoke to my heart. And the Lord said something, too, about being content with your wages in the gospel. Remember that? I think he was talking to a soldier or a centurion or somebody. Because he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will care for us. So our trust is in not money, but the Lord. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because there's only so much they can do. So we have this promise. God was faithful in the past. God would go before Israel. That's second. Number three, or C, God had a timetable for conquest. God had a timetable for conquest. Verse 22, and the Lord thy God will put out these nations before thee by little and little. And there was a reason why God said little by little, because if the whole region, all people were gone all at one time, there'd be nobody to care for the land and no one to keep the animal population down. So until the people of Israel, those that had that portion of the land of promise, built up, God said, we're not going to go in there willy-nilly and just take everybody out. So Joshua, 7 years it took Joshua, according to the plan of God, to finish the conquest of the land. There was a process there, a process of settlement that was gradual. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Literally, be too many. That's kind of a lesson for us, those people that say you should never kill an animal. There's people that believe that. You should never kill an animal. Do you know what would happen if we never killed an animal? Where would we live? I mean, I opened the blinds this morning, and I was eyeball to eyeball with a deer. Literally. And, you know, I didn't, it was too little. It's not deer season anyway, but it made me hungry for meat. And I don't like eating meat first thing in the morning. So I know they're beautiful and animals are great, and all that kind of stuff. And we should not just go out and kill animals for sake of killing something, but it's okay to eat them. I mean, don't kill the neighbor's dog and eat it. I'm not talking about that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Yes, sir.
Back in Genesis, didn't he give Adam the command to subdue and manage his world that he's going to be living in?
He did. And, of course, who killed the first animal? Mm-hmm. For coats. Covering for Adam and Eve. So, anyway. And the Jews could eat certain meats they couldn't. We are not under any restriction, according to the Word of God, as long as we give thanks. And every time I take a bite of any kind of chunk of meat, I'm very thankful, except lamb. Disgusting. How many of you like lamb? You have to acquire a taste. You know, I used to hear back when I was a boozer back in the day, I never could drink scotch. I thought it was something you clean the wall with or something. But people that drank it and liked it, you got to acquire a taste. Can you imagine something so nasty you got to make yourself like it by acquiring a taste? Really? Anyway, obeying God is doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. And the right reason is to glorify God, isn't it? He shall deliver their kings, verse 24, into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. Obeying God. Jesus followed a divine schedule, and God has a divine schedule for every one of his children. God has a plan for our lives. Did you know that? Now, we can't... when we're 18, kneel down and pray and say, God, reveal your plan to me for the rest of my life. Because we would go insane. If I would have known all the things that were going to happen, the loss of a child, all the different things that were very difficult, can you imagine if we knew about everything? If I knew back when I was 20 and I married Barbara that she would die before me, I mean, we'd live our whole lives in turmoil. Thinking about all the things that are going to befall us, a surgery we might need, or a cancer diagnosis that we're given, or, I mean, if we knew all of that way back in the beginning. But God does direct us little by little, day by day, moment by moment, doesn't he? And he knows what he's doing, even though we often question, or wonder at least. Jesus, again, he followed a divine schedule. As they made their way through Canaan, they won victory after victory, except, of course, when Achan, remember? Yeah. Oh, Achan. But when they obeyed, when they followed God's plan, they won. They grew in number. They grew in their faith. They grew in their ability to trust God even more. By following God's timetable, they would take better care of the land even. Exodus 23, Exodus 23, 28 through 30. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, and all the other ites and kites and mites and tites, and I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, and thou shalt be increased and inherit the land. Preventing wild animals from multiplying too fast, becoming a serious threat. And again, Joshua conquered the land in about 7 years. And then D, A, God was faithful in the past. B, God would go before Israel. C, God had a timetable for conquest. D, God expected the nation to obey him. God expected the nation to obey him. Verses 23 through 26. Keep this in mind. True faith always results in obedience. True faith always. If we say we trust God, if we say we truly believe, if we say His word is true, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a way to show our love for Him. And that should be the motivation for obedience, not fear of retribution. But I love you, Lord, and I want to obey you to demonstrate how much I love you. One who doesn't care about obeying God, in my opinion at least, if they have no desire to obey God, maybe don't even think about it. Is that person saved? Kind of makes you doubt, doesn't it? You can't make a final determination, but it certainly does cause a lot of doubt in my mind if someone doesn't care about obeying. If someone never cares about coming to church, they say they're saved, but they never have any desire to come to church. A lot of doubt there. I mean, shouldn't a Christian want to be around other believers? Shouldn't a Christian want to serve his God and his fellow Christians? You would think, right? Wouldn't a true believer want to support missionaries and just be a part of where the action was? I mean, when I drank, I was in the bars. That's been a long time ago. It's not like last week, okay? I'm talking about 45 years ago. But when I drank, I wanted to be around other people that drank. I didn't go to church. Now, there's some today, of course, who go to church and drink. But I don't recommend that either. That's kind of like two opposites. You know, what communion hath righteousness and unrighteousness? You know, Christ and Belial, the Bible says. Which I'm glad that finally even the world is waking up. Read a lot of articles in the last 2 weeks that mention that even one drink is not healthy. You heard the old thing, right? Well, if you drink a little bit of, you drink some wine, it's really good for you. Well, if you check it out, do some research. They're now finding that small amounts of alcohol lead to many different cancers. Did you know that? Anybody else read that? Small amounts lead to cancer. Took them a while to come to their senses about coffee. You know, they finally realize it is healthy. It's antioxidant. It's good for you. Amen. I've been saying that since the day I was saved. People say, you got to switch. Now listen, you're saved. You got to switch to tea. Like the caffeine in tea is superior to the caffeine in coffee. Go figure. Hot tea. Oh, I can't. Sorry. I tried it. Anyway, Israel had to obey God's clear command in order to wipe out the heathen nations and their religions. If they did not obey, they would pay the price. Everything in the land was to be dedicated and devoted to God. No one had a right to claim it. The detestable things were to be destroyed to keep from being snares to the people of Israel. All of the idols and the various things that were the graven images, God said, burn them. Burn them. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee. Don't even scrape the gold off. Burn them. For it's an abomination to the Lord thy God. And that's a good thing to do with anything that might dishonor our God. Just burn it. All the rock albums that I had, didn't have many. I wasn't a big record guy. But back in the day, remember the records? Those of you that are seniors? Remember LPs? They're coming back though, aren't they? Isn't vinyl coming back? Vinyl's a big thing now or something. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't feel right about having these. I wasn't going to give them to somebody else. Here, take my sin. So I, like the booze, I dumped the booze. I didn't give it away. Here, have my alcohol. I dumped it. And the records, I bought a pellet gun and I used it as target practice. Some of those albums I've seen would be worth some money now because I got an album a month when I worked at Capitol Records. They gave us an album. We got to choose like out of four or five different albums. And so I had all these albums, you know, McCartney and Wings and a lot of different albums back in the day. And I blew them up. Anyway. It's good to get rid of that stuff. That's just my opinion. Understand, if it's not in the Bible word for word, it's just my opinion, you can take it or leave it. You understand that? I'm not ordering you, telling you what to do. I'm not going to do that. They were to obey, not just to obey, but obey from their hearts. And we see that in the strong language of verse number 26. As we grow in grace, we should be learning to love God, and whatever God loves, we love. What God detests, we detest, because we should desire to obey him from our hearts. That's the important thing. Because if we do the will of God, because we love him, God will bless us. And the question really is, as we close this morning, are we seeking to obey him because we love him? That should be our motivation. Any questions or comments? Anybody?